Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
All right. And look at that. Our audience is out there at 9:30 in the morning. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Drinking wine and all that 9:30 in the morning here. I say 9:30 in the morning. This is a pre-recorded show for this Thursday. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, we recorded this show Saturday morning. And
live.
So if you live Saturday morning. So if you're listening to it right now, Saturday morning, then thanks for getting up and joining us. But otherwise, then Thursday it will be recorded. So
yeah,
just let you know. So, but we're doing a early show because our guests today are in Italy and they're 5 hours and 6 months ahead of us, so we have to record this time so we're not disturbing them and having them stay up in the middle of the night to talk to us. And it's convenient for both of us that way because we can do it.
Yep. Very good. Thank you for doing this on a Saturday. This is great. Thank you.
Yeah. It works out well for all of us on this. Excuse me. So we have Pierre and Kiera, I believe that's pronounced both of them right. They're from One on the Hill. It is a YouTube channel, Instagram, their website, everything else. They are both Psalms, and we need to talk about that in a little bit. They are also both musicians, and we need to talk about that. And they are in Italy now, but they have spent some time in California. They worked in the wine industry for some time. They have a wine club. They have all sorts of cool stuff going on for them. So we want to welcome you to the show, Pierre and Kiera.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, you're quite welcome. Thanks for joining us on All About Wine here. We really appreciate it, and thanks for getting in touch with us. So let's start out with the fact that you both are Psalms. How you certified, actual, you know, card-carrying Psalms, are you?
Yeah, so we are from, born and raised in Italy, where we took our sommelier class and diploma in Torino, which is in Piedmont, an area that is famous for Barolo and Barbaresco wines. I'm sure you heard of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Very good. I mean, yeah, that's quite a test I have to take. Both of you be getting that. That's pretty cool. And how long have you had your certification as sommeliers?
We took our diploma in 2014.
Oh,
then we worked in the restaurant industry in Torino for some years, and then we left for California.
Uh-huh. So when were you in California then? That sounds like what, about 18, 17?
Yeah. So we arrived in California in late 15 and stayed there for 2 years.
And what part of California?
We were living in Santa Rosa, which is north of San Francisco in Sonoma County.
All right. And did you work for any particular winery, or did you just bounce around?
No, no. I was working for Gary Farrell Winery in the Russian River.
Mm-hmm.
And Chiara was working at Castello di Amorosa in Calistoga, Napa Valley.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, it's all close enough there. You can work at two different ones, and it's not like you're commuting for hours or anything. So that makes it very convenient. Now, and when you worked at the wineries, were you both in the production or in the tasting room, or what was your jobs, or were you just musicians at that time? What were you doing there?
No, so we were working for the tasting room. Well, myself, mm-hmm. I was working for the tasting room. And specifically, I was working for the what we call the VIP room. So uh-huh. it was for the wine club members of the castle. In the meantime, I was still singing here and there, you know, some restaurants in San Francisco and also in Calistoga. I'm an opera singer, by the way. So
oh, really? Yeah.
I started, yeah. I wanted to be a singer, but then I changed my mind when I discovered that I had a passion for wine. So it's still my passion, you know. I'm still singing sometime, but my focus right now it's more on the wine.
Well, wine does that too. You taste it once and you go, oh my gosh, I like this. And you sort of get hooked on. I mean, it's very easy to do. Did you get formal training for your opera, or did you, has it been something that you've just dabbled in for years or what?
No, no. So after the high school decided that I wanted to be a singer, like a professional singer.
Right.
So I started working for, you know, I did all kind of jobs because I needed the money to for my training, you know.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of money for my opera lessons, and finally I started singing, but then I found out that it wasn't my future. It's not easy, you know, to live of music.
Yeah.
And then I met Pierre. We discovered that we had this great passion for wine. So we started studying wine. And
basically we took it from there. We went to the sommelier school together. We became a couple. We managed a wine bar, you know, this is very early stages of our wine career, but it's one of those experiences that you need, because once you're done with your sum school, you're actually just beginning, because then you need, you know, to actually taste the wines, and having access to a wine cellar of a restaurant, or even better, running a wine bar, gives you the chance to put everything you learn into practice.
Uh-huh. And so, Pierre, let's back up a little bit on you. Are you also a musician? Do you play instruments? Do you sing?
Yeah. So, Chiara is the classical one, so opera singer. And I've always been actually more into rock and roll. I had a sort of a career when I was in my teenage years here in Italy. We had this band that played a very, very American style of punk rock. I was 16 when we started this, and we were among the first bands in Italy to play this genre that, you know, was right on time before it actually hit here in Italy. So it was a great timing. So we had a really good run for a good 4 years.
Wow.
We signed a contract with a label.
Wow.
We were touring all over Italy. We did some shows in Europe. We toured Japan and Russia. So it was
oh
a great experience when I was really, really young.
Well, that's amazing. That really is. That's so many people who are musicians just sort of dabble with a garage band and let it go at that. But that you really, made something of it.
Yeah, no, it was. I'm very, very grateful for that. For those years of my life was. It was very important for how I developed and. I think it's one of those experiences that will be with me forever.
Oh, without question, yes, that's a great little thing to have in your life. There, that's fantastic. It surprised me. I expect when people say they're musicians, I expect something just a little bit here and there. But you really jumped into it, and that was fantastic. A good background for you there. So.
Yeah.
Do you both, and one more question about being, in music here, do you both still dabble in music, or is it pretty much put on the shelf now while you became wine people?
Well, I think it will always be part of who we are. It's not a job right now. It's more like a passion, as I said. So sometimes I still sing. I still, when the coronavirus wasn't here, I was still and I think it's the same as yet. It's not our job, but it will always be part of us.
Yeah. Well,
we both still have, we can call them bands or projects. A new band that I formed before actually we left for the U.S. It's called Elephants, like elephant but with A. And we only have one album that we wrote while I was away. My brother is also a musician. And he played guitar in the band. And we wrote that album while I was in California, he was in France. And we wrote the album online. And as soon as I got back, we recorded it. So it's on, you can listen to it on Spotify or Apple Music.
Oh, wow. There you go, Mike. There's another music for you to add to your library there.
I am taking notes, and I also looked up Melody Fall. I'm there already. I already got and you have a Facebook page, and so I'm going to definitely connect to you.
Melody Fall is the band I played in when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And there's also, I'm pretty sure there's also a Wikipedia page.
There is. You played bass and vocals, backup vocals. I'm already there.
Cool.
All about wine and music. That's what it is.
Yeah, all about wine and music. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to look up Elephant. And I see you on Facebook, so I'll definitely connect there
awesome.
Too. Thank you. Yeah,
cool.
That's cool. Oh, I was going to ask a question about I was going to ask a question about the certification for sommeliers. So you did yours in Europe, in Italy, okay, right?
Yeah.
If someone is certifying in California or someplace else outside of that, is the certification requirement or the certification itself the same, or do you have differences in the different regions in the world?
This is a great question. Because we actually asked ourselves this question before we left, and we're actually while we were in California looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, each type of organization for, you know, the sommelier diploma has a different rules and different teaching methods, but they all translate somewhat into each other. For example, I had to convert our diploma into the Guild of Somm, which is the one that you guys have in the U.S.
Right.
And there, I was actually able to find a job in California because I could, I was able to convert ours into yours. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been possible.
Wow. Okay. So it's not like a transferable. I mean, yeah, you have the knowledge and everything, but like you said, each organization. I thought it was a world standard type thing. You know, if you're a Somm from California, then you're also, you know, qualified for Europe and different countries and regions and everything. And I thought, you know, there was one standard for that, but it doesn't sound like it, which I didn't know.
I think from a practical perspective,
mm-hmm.
it does work like that.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you are a Somm from California and you want to come here and work,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that your employer is going to look at your resume and see that you're a Somm, and eventually is going to test you have an interview. But yeah. Because it's not one single organization worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to find a way to convert those.
Wow. Interesting.
I didn't know that either. That is interesting. We've never talked to a Somm from another country. That's why we've never really approached it. That is a good question, Mike. Thank you. So. We are okay. We're back to wine now. So you guys got your sommelier's certification, and you went to California. You worked in California, and why did you leave California? What was it? Homesick? Time to get back to Italy? What was the reason for departing the States?
Many reasons. First of all, we had a great time in California, and I think it was very important for us to leave our country to understand its potential. I believe that, you know, one of the most important things you can do is at one point leave the place that you're accustomed to change perspective and then eventually go back. And it's exactly what happened to us. From a more professional point of view, it's very interesting to compare the two areas, the two regions. Italy has a very old wine culture and heritage. We're talking centuries,
right?
So it's, you know, very, very old. And but we need, and we still, you know, have a lot to learn from the new world from a wine business standpoint, which is exactly what we learned in California.
Uh-huh.
Everything over there is a lot more developed from that perspective.
Well, that's interesting. It does make sense. You know, it's different cultures on both of them. I mean, wine being the tying factor, but still, I can understand completely different cultures from both. Well, and not just Italy, but Europe and New World and Old World wines. I mean, they even mention it, New World and Old World, and you can probably really understand that.
Exactly.
So,
When I try to explain it further, I always say that Europe and Italy in particular, and France, we have put all of our efforts during all these centuries from the vineyard to the bottle. While in California, we saw that a lot of energy, a lot of development and resources were actually put into from the bottle to the consumer.
Hmm.
So the two worlds, in a way, are specular. They can learn a lot from each other.
That's an interesting approach. I've never heard it worded like that, that the old world from the vineyard to the bottle and then new world from the bottle to the consumer. And I can understand, though, because when you start looking at and reading different articles from Italy, France, Germany, Spain, they're always talking about the vineyard and how important that is. I mean, even the word terroir in French doesn't have an English equivalent, so that shows you how important it is there. And it's obvious when you start looking at it that it is very vineyard-oriented for Old World wine, whereas New World wine, we always mention how, excuse me, how fresh and the different types of stuff coming out in the bottle and how it tastes back to the person and all that. So very good. I like that. I like that perspective of it. I think that's great. So we.
But to answer the question, I think at one point we realized that there was a lot of potential here in Alba, where we live right now, for many of those ideas that we had learned in California. So we decided to come back here and start One on the Hill, which is, you know, our company right now. And for one thing, is it's something that belongs to us. So we had a great time and we're very, very grateful for the jobs that we found in California and all the friends that we met there. But running your own business is a different story.
Oh yeah, yeah, without a doubt. So you left California, you came back to Alba. Is Alba a hometown for either one of you, or is it just you threw a dart at a map and says, okay, we're going to live here? Why Alba?
Yeah, so we're not originally from Alba. We are originally from Torino, which is not far away, but it's not the wine, you know, the wine country. So we decided to come here, first of all, because it's the perfect place to be if you want to work in the wine business.
Uh-huh.
And then because I found a beautiful home from the States, and I said, okay, I want to go live over there because I just fell in love with this house, which is on top of a hill, and we have a beautiful view, and we're close to the vineyards. So, yeah, so we choose to come here.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been there now, in that house particularly? How long have you been there?
A little bit more than 3 years.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And so you went back there, you decided to start a business. Tell us how this all came about, One on the Hill. That I take is the business. How did it come about? How did you get the name? What does it do? Tell about the wine club. There's all sorts of stuff, tours, everything, which obviously with COVID, and I need to interject here quickly. People I think, and I do the same thing, and I'm sure most people do, whenever they think of COVID, they think of just themselves, their state, their country, stuff like that. And they don't realize the far-reaching aspects of COVID-19. I mean, not only did it shut the United States down, it also shut down Italy and France and everywhere. And so it was obviously just as devastating for you guys last year than it was for the wineries here in the States, because you couldn't do your tours and different things. So I just, you know, wanted to throw that in perspective a little bit here. But again, One on the Hill, tell us all about that.
Yeah. So first of all, the idea of One on the Hill starts from the idea of community, because as you might have learned by now, we have many passions, but the most important thing is and what we actually love the most is to share these passions with people. So community is absolutely at the core of One on the Hill. How does the community actually work? First of all, we have this management company for Airbnbs, which at the time, so 3 years ago, was a somewhat a new thing for this region. This is, you know, Alba's in the countryside, so everything comes a little bit later compared to the rest of the world. So imagine all these beautiful hills in the countryside, and in these hills you have old farmhouses or apartments in the medieval towns that sometimes are empty. So Airbnb was kind of a revolution. And what we did was set up this management company so that we could actually help the owners manage their Airbnbs. So now we have a network of properties here in the Lange area, which is the name for the region that encompasses Barolo and Barbaresco Valley. So this is the hospitality side of the business. Soon all these homes will start again to fill up with guests, to which we offer unique experiences. So the tours, of course, the wine tours, the private dinners with Italian chefs, the truffle hunts, and the cooking classes, and we have many experiences that are all listed on our website. And of course, all these people that come here, they have a great time. They love the area. They fall in love with the wines and with the food, and they eventually can sign up for our wine club, which is absolutely a novelty for the country, not just the region.
Oh, yeah?
To give you an idea how... Yeah. To give you an idea of how new this is, when we came to the U.S. for the first time, I had never heard of the concept of a wine club.
Really?
So
this
was
wow.
Completely new for us. So... we were among the first one in Italy, not in Piemonte, just in the entire country, to set up a wine club that would actually make a selection of wines from here, tell the story of the wines. So all the you can only imagine how many generations, how many stories and vineyards and, you know, the whole heritage is behind a bottle of wine from Barolo or from Barbaresco. So actually, our wine club makes a selection of wines and ships them direct to consumer all over Europe and U.S. 3 times a year. And,
wow.
It's been very successful. And actually, it's what has kept the company alive for the last year, since the COVID-19 outbreak.
Oh, I can imagine it would be, yeah, considering that, you know, the B&B and all that, the wine tours have pretty much came to a stop because of COVID. So the wine club has, it seemed like it's been your lifeline. You,
yeah.
How many bottles do you ship? You say 3 times a year. How many on each shipment?
There are 3 levels, 4, 6, and 12 bottles per shipment.
Uh-huh. And does each shipment include a story about each of the bottles and a little history on them?
Absolutely. In the box, there's a booklet that tells you the story of the winery, the reason why we picked the wines. And we also have a chef from Alba who designs 4 new Italian recipes for you to cook with the wines.
Wow. So each shipment, you've got yourself a unique, individually made recipes that with the wine. So it's not like it's just the wines. It's like a whole meal that you are subscribing to on the wine club.
Well, we're not shipping the ingredients. It's just the recipe.
No,
but
the recipe, though, but it's enough. You know,
another,
you know, so.
Another thing that is very important with the way we consume wine in Italy is that it always goes with food. So we're trying to, the idea of the wine club is trying to recreate that experience that you have when you come and visit us. So you receive your wines, you open the box, you check the story of the producer, but at the same time, you're also calling your wife or your husband on the way to work, saying, "Hey, stop at the grocery. We need this and that because
Very good. Yes. I can see that. You know, it's your turn to cook tonight. What do we need? Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Your wines, you say, you know, from your grow, you just pick the wines from your area there. So how many wineries are around you there that you have to choose from? Is there, you know, hundreds or dozens or what are we looking at?
Absolutely hundreds. There's,
really?
You know, Piemonte is a pretty big region. So there are many, many wineries we can pick from. And I think right now Piemonte is at the top of, you know, it's among the best wine regions in the world. So the quality is really, really, really high.
Wow. I didn't realize there was that many wineries in the region there. It surprised me. Well, you mentioned the region, tell us, since you're sitting in the middle of it, tell us about the Piedmont region and what are they producing there? And just a little bit about that, if you will.
You mean only about wine or in general?
Well, basically wine, but a little bit about the area itself. I mean, you know, COVID's not going to last forever and people are going to want to travel. And that sounds like the place to travel to in Italy.
Sure. So I love this area in particular, the Lange area. Because even if it's a small area, it's super dense. There's a lot to see. There are many castles, like medieval buildings. It's full of great restaurants. We have a lot of Michelin stars restaurants here. I think, how many
I never counted them, but there's probably, I'm pretty sure this is one of the most dense areas when it comes to Michelin stars.
That's amazing.
In the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's good food, of course, good wine, but also there are a lot of people who are very interested in the trails,
Yeah, you can hike.
Yeah.
But the in general, this is specifically to the Lange. Of course, this area is very beautiful, very scenic, because there are these hills, and as Chiara said, medieval castles all over. and the food and wine scene is really unbelievable. This is Italy is amazing because there's great food everywhere, but within the country, this is right now the wine and food mecca. Absolutely.
Wow. Two things. Number one, castles. You keep mentioning castles, and I never have pictured Italy as having a bunch of castles. You think about Germany more than anything when you think of castles, but I've never really considered Italy having castles, which is cool. I mean, those are neat. And secondly, the question, describe, so the listeners will get an idea of where you are in the Piedmont region. I mean, where is that in Italy? North, south, east, west, central?
So we're northwest, very close to the Alps and bordering France. So if you think of Italy as a boot, we're at the very top.
Okay. And so it's, being close to France too, that gives you a lot of the climate and possibilities of, off the Alps there. That gives you a lot of control of the, not control, but a lot of weather differentials there that could create some great wine and great grapes. So
We see the Alps every day from our window.
Oh, do you?
But we're also 1 hour away from the sea, so.
Yeah, you would be. I mean, what's your closest body of water would be the Mediterranean then?
Yes, correct.
Okay, yeah, that would be there. Wow, that's sounds like a phenomenal area and a phenomenal place to live. I can see why y'all wanted to go back there. Your wine tours, those consist of what? And I know that it's not happening now because of COVID, but COVID's not going to last forever, we hope. And you'll be starting up those wine tours again. What do the wine tours consist of? Will you just restaurants or wineries or castles, or what is your typical wine tour?
The idea behind all of our experiences is to create something authentic and at the same time has to be tailored to the guests. So most of our wine tours are designed with the first winery in the morning. So we pick up our guests and we take them to a winery in Barbaresco, which is one of the two most famous regions in the area. And there we do a tour of the winery, a tasting of the wines, and we try to teach them, give them an idea of what it means to make Barbaresco wine.
Mm.
All the visits here are pretty detailed, and we're friends with most of the winery, so it's always a great time, and time flies during these tours.
I can imagine.
Even if we start early in the morning, we end up hanging out at the winery until lunchtime. And then we take our guests to a restaurant, which can be of all sorts. In Korea, as we said, we're famous for, you know, high-end cuisine, but at the same time, we have amazing local food, you know, osterias and things like that. It depends on the type of experience the guest wants. And then after lunch, we move to Barolo, which is a separate valley. So the city of Alba is in between two separate valleys.
Wow.
The east is the Barbaresco, and to the west is the Barolo. And in these two valleys, the two different wines, the Barbaresco wine and the Barolo wine, are made. So this is what a normal one-day experience looks like. So a good, you know, meal in between, and then we try to teach and let our guests experience the difference between Barolo wine and Barbaresco wine.
I didn't realize they were that close. That sounds fantastic, like a great tour there. How many languages do you both speak? I mean, obviously Italian and English, but how many other languages?
Well, I was speaking a little bit of French before coming in the U.S. Then I completely forgot all my French studies. So, but we don't really need to speak other languages other than English and Italian here, because we have many guests coming from Scandinavia, so they speak English, or United States, they speak English. So you don't really need to speak other languages. Yeah.
Our French is good enough to communicate, and you know, if we take a trip to Paris, we can ask directions and order food and have a very simple conversation.
Yeah.
So it sounds like English is one of the basic languages that most people, I mean, we Americans are very self-centered. We expect everyone to be able to speak English to us. So I can understand that. Let's see, there was something else. Oh, your YouTube channel. What is on your YouTube channel? What does that consist of?
So, YouTube channel is the most recent addition to our media. We started out on Instagram, which is now consolidated and a very, very strong tool for us. But a couple of months ago, we decided to launch the YouTube channel because we needed something more from a content point of view, meaning that on Instagram, the level of attention that you're getting from your audience is very, very short. You know, it's on your phone and you're swiping and you're looking at a photo. The depth of the content you're communicating can only go to a certain level. So we thought it was about time that we started a YouTube channel, which is basically a vlog, which is a new format that is very popular on YouTube right now, in which we actually take you with us all over the wine region. So there's winery visits, there are restaurant experiences, and hopefully as soon as we can travel, we'll take you around the world with us.
Oh, fantastic. So which brings up another question. Once the world opens up again, you're not going to be stuck there. You're planning on traveling to different regions of the world?
Absolutely. Yeah. The idea behind the YouTube channel is to explore the world of wine. And we actually are going to be back to California for some time because we're thinking of expanding the business to back to California. So hopefully we'll have One on the Hill USA soon.
Oh, very good. So when you get to California, you say expanding the business, your wine club going to then become an offering of California type wines along with your Italian?
No, but the selection of the wines is always going to be Italian with a big focus on Piemonte, which is our region.
Okay.
But expanding operations in California is going to help us a lot.
Yeah, I can understand that because people are interested in California wine, regardless of where they are in the world. It seems to be an attraction to just about everyone.
Yeah, but also from a logistical perspective and potentially having a sales team for the wine club based in the U.S. is going to be a big help.
Okay, I understand that point too. As opposed to shipping across the pond, you can have everything shipped to one location and distribute from there, which would logistically make a lot more sense. I see that.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Mike, is there anything that question you have for Pierre or Kara?
Hang on, I was checking air flights.
I know you're busy doing stuff in the background and everything.
I'm like, I wonder how much it would cost to go from Tampa to Genoa, maybe Milan. I've been to Milan before, it looks like it's a pretty good distance. So I'm just sitting here. I'm like taking notes on one screen and looking up flights to Italy in another. And gotta make plans, you know.
That's right.
That'd be awesome.
Of course, you guys are welcome to come see us as soon as you get a vaccine.
Yep.
And we open up, because the problem right now is that we still haven't found a way to certify that you're vaccinated and you can actually travel. But I was talking to a few wine club members that are just like you, checking at air travel every day, because they, you know, this region here is really, really addictive.
Mm-hmm.
So they come 1 year and then they need to come back the year after. So the EU is going to have a sort of it's called green passport or something like that, that certifies that you got both your vaccine shots and you can travel wherever you want. Supposedly gonna be running by June. So anything later than June should be okay.
Let's talk a little bit COVID here, since you are in Europe and we know everything that's going on here in the States. But what's happening with the COVID vaccines and the lockdowns and the mask and all that stuff over there in Italy? I mean, is things still closed and locked up? Do you still have to wear a mask everywhere? Once you get your two shots, they certify you as free to go?
We still don't know when we are going to get our shots, because they started with, people from like 80, and then now it's 70s, but we still don't know when we are going to get, you know, young people or who doesn't have any, you know, illness.
Yeah. So, the concept is the same to you guys, but the rollout program is a little slower here compared to US.
Mm-hmm.
We know as much as you do from that perspective, but the plan says that Italy is should have 70% of the population vaccinated by September.
Wow, that's good. And are things still locked down there? Are you opening up? What is happening with businesses?
We're currently in lockdown right now, which I hope will be the last one. It's gonna last until Easter.
Mm. So that's only a couple of weeks. That's only
Sorry, what was that?
That's only about a week, though. You that's pretty close here.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get all the numbers and cases down, and temperatures are rising. I am very positive for summer.
All right, very good. That's good to hear. I'm sorry, Mike, you were talking about the travels and stuff, and then they mentioned, the restrictions, and I just thought of the COVID and how it's going to affect everybody.
Yeah, you can't just jump on a plane anymore, and now you have to be certified to even, $944. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah, well.
Book me up.
I'm sorry. I'm just, it's amazing because I haven't been there. I was in Italy back in a long time ago. I'm not going to say exactly when. Went to Verona, landed in Milan, took a train to Verona, stayed there for 3 months. Venice and, did all that stuff, but never went to the other side. And I really wish I would have. It's beautiful out there. Just looking at the pictures and the rolling hills and everything, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Wow, that's even cheaper.
Calm down.
Well, I'm looking at it. That's only $797. Okay, folks, I'm going to stop that. Because I'm going to... I'm putting my credit card information, and I'm like, I'm going on a trip.
Just getting ready to book it now.
I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mike won't be joining us on the radio program for the next 3 months. He's going to be in Italy.
Well, I said, yeah, it's beautiful out there, and the food is incredible. It's just you can't, you have to do it at some point. And what a great connection and thing that you're doing there for the region and connecting people, like you said, in the community, and getting them involved and taught, teaching what you do and everything. It's just definitely a win-win for sure. I have to get off that page before
you book that.
Yeah. Next thing you know,
we all deserve a little treat after.
Yes.
What happened. So,
yeah. And we tell everyone, during the past shows, in the last year that we continue to do the show is you can still support your local wineries and you can still order wine and you can still, show the love and everything that they need in this troubled time, because it affected so many hospitality. I was trying to think of something there, but so many those in the hospitality industry that it's really hurting, and they're trying to get back on their feet and just keep pushing and keep supporting them so they can stay afloat and do what you got to do. And so I think it's great that what you're doing, and hopefully it gets back to normal soon. But it, like you said, it's going to be a while, unfortunately. But
We try to do as much as we can to support our company and also the wineries we buy from.
Yeah.
So normally all of our wine club members, and only our wine club members, have access to what we call custom selections.
Mm.
So basically our members receive our selection 3 times a year, but they always have access to additional selections. They just, send us an email or call us and we'll make a selection for them. But since the outbreak, we extended these custom selections to everyone that is, following us or hearing about us. So this is a way to support one of the Hill bottles, so to support
the wineries we buy from.
Yeah.
No, very good.
You definitely want to support them and keep them going, for sure. Good. Okay. Thank you.
The price of the wines from the region, are they really expensive? You are saying that they're some of the best in the world and world renowned and all that. That almost interprets into some very expensive wines. Are they, or are they reasonable? I mean, can you get a case for less than $2,000?
There is a little bit of everything. We do have some, you know, collector's items. We actually work with many producers that have bottles that can actually go up to over €1,000 per bottle.
Wow.
But what is great about this region is that the value in this wine is still incredible, which is, you know, what we try to do with our wine club. You can buy, if you know where to look, and that's a problem, because it's the European wine, and especially Lange wines, is very tricky. So you need to know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find amazing bottles for 50, 60 euros. And the value in those wines is, again, very, very, very high.
Yeah, it's a great region. I mean, it's been noted for years where Brisco and Barolo regions are always at the top of the list whenever you start talking about Italian wine. So that's
absolutely. Yeah. And this region became part of the UNESCO World Heritage only seven years ago, and that helped the tourism, but also the wines that, you know, were already becoming popular. But after this, they really, really skyrocketed. So one thing many people fail to consider is how small this region is and how little wine compared to other regions like Burgundy or Napa or others. The Barolo area, in terms of acreage, is actually 1/10 of Burgundy.
Wow. That is a small comparison there. Burgundy's not really that big either. I mean, if you start comparing that to other regions around the world, the Burgundy region isn't enormous as it is either.
Exactly. So if you put it into perspective, these wines might really end up getting very, very, very expensive soon.
Yeah, only 7 years. That amazes me, because I've been involved with wine for more years than I care to mention. Over 50 years, I've been following wine and been, you know, a part of the wine community. And back when I first started in wine many years ago, that region was mentioned a lot. And whenever we talked about Italy, it was always the Barisco and the Barolo regions that were brought up over some of the others. And so it surprises me that it's only been a World Heritage for 7 years, and it's jumped up since then, because it's been a known region for so long. I don't know. It just amazes me.
Yeah.
So, well, Pierre and Kara, is there any other closing things that you want to bring up? And if not, then give us all of your contact information, your web address and your Instagram account and your YouTube channel account and phone numbers if you like, and anything any of the listeners might need to get in the hold of you or to get in touch with you and are to follow you, so then that way when Italy starts to open up again, they can make a trip there. Just all the contact information, and then anything else that we haven't covered that you would like to mention here, we'd love to have you, you know, bring it up or hear what you have to say. So all yours.
So, well, first of all, thank you guys for your time and for having us over.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you could do it.
We look forward to meeting you in person and having you here in Lange, showing you how beautiful and how warm this area is and how great the food is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the easiest way is to go on our website, which is wineonthehill.com. If you're more of a social person, you can just type Wine on the Hill on your Instagram or on your YouTube, and you'll find everything.
Perfect. And that's Wine on the Hill, O-N-E-O-N-T-H-E-H-I-L-L, Wine on the Hill. Very simple, very easy, and you can find out everything about them and all that. There's a great sites too. I visited the sites and everything, and they really are fun to browse through and all that. Pierre and Kara, thank you so much for taking time out today to talk with us, and we really do look forward to, well, Mike might show up next week the way he's booking those things now, looking at those sites, but
well, the hotels are cheap too. I'm I'm on hotels now.
Mike, yeah. if you book your plane,
yeah.
don't book your room. You can stay in one of our Airbnbs.
Oh really? Oh
yeah.
I mean they're very affordable there. I mean I mean just to give you a comparison, Ron. If you want to stay like at Vero Beach on the beach, it's
right.
400, maybe $500. I've gone through that already, and it's a nightmare for a hotel. Over there, I'm seeing them in, during these dates. I mean, this is the summer. I don't know what the you know time the best time to travel is, but I'm looking at 153, some in the 90.
Wow.
And the airfare I found. Now I have to go to Miami, which I don't like, but you know, to save $400, that's a good option. But I'm like under $800.
Wow.
Round trip. I'm thinking.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
And
the best way is we recommend to fly into either Milano or Torino.
Oh, Torino.
And then rent a car from the airport.
Oh.
It's about an hour and a half drive to Guaba.
Oh, I didn't know Torino had a good air, like
yeah.
a regular. Okay.
Excellent. So there you go. That might.
Oh gosh, you know my wallet is jumping. I'm here. Okay. Yeah. And then Oh wow. Okay.
So there you go.
Anyway.
So like I say, Mike
yeah.
might just show up one day. So.
I will let you know.
Yeah, let us know.
That is perfect. Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, I really enjoyed this. This is a unique time for us, and I hope everybody else tuned in enjoyed it as well. And this will replay next Thursday at a regular time slot. So we do have a time a regular show for then for our normal Thursday listeners. So join us, everybody out there.
April 1st, this will air again. So.
Yeah. So tune in and for a replay of this, and this is fantastic. So thank you all, and thank you for joining us today, this afternoon, in your location. And it was really a pleasure, and definitely enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah. It was very, very enjoyable and educational.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Y'all have a good day and hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you. Uh-oh. Let me,
I think they're gone. I just heard the disconnect from Skype noise.
Yeah, I was trying to move the window over. Or that might have been me.
I've dealt with Skype, so I know those noises, and that's that was the disconnect. Now, so
that was Skype. Okay.
Very good. That was fun. Before I forget it, you said you wrote down the name of the band that he was in. What was in that name so I can look it up?
The current one is Alephant. It's Alephant. It's like elephant, the first letter is an A. Yeah.
Okay.
They're on Facebook. There's also a website, and I haven't been to the website yet, but if you go to their official Facebook page, you can get there from, you can get to the website from there. I just liked the page. I haven't looked into it. This, the band that was originally on, that he talked about, Melody Falls, that's the first one that I found. I mean, they toured China. They really,
well, that's what he made, what, three albums or four albums they made? And
that one, I'm trying to think of which,
Melody Falls.
Yeah, Melody Falls has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 albums, it looks like.
Seven?
And
wow.
One of them sold like 80,000 copies. They did a European tour quite a good run there. As recently as 2017, they were going. So yeah, it says from 2007 to 2017. But they started in January 5th, I guess, or 2003 is what it shows here. But
what he said, he was he was 16 years old and stayed with about 4 or 5 years. And so, that was.
What an amazing thing to see at that age.
Really, that was just what he was saying. Well, they wrote and said they were musicians, and I figured, garage band, she might sing and play guitar, and they do little gigs around wineries. And she's an opera singer, and he actually recorded it. I mean, it's just, you're going, oh, wow. It's just.
Yeah, it is amazing.
It is.
All right. Well, he sent an audio on Skype. I'll play that after we log off here, because I don't know what it is. I'm going to close out the chats here at least for the streaming. Thank you all for tuning in there. And this show again will be replaying next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, our regular time slot. So if for some reason you missed it or caught the tail end, it'll be on again. So
April 1st.
And I had no idea it was April 1st already. Wow, it is
already.
Okay.
Yeah.
You all have a good week and weekend, and thank you. And we'll
thank
see
you for tuning in. If you're listening to this Thursday, thanks for tuning in on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you all next week. Be safe.
All right. Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.